ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why not feel good? We're going to return to Bender this show. We have comedian Kathleen Madigan live in studio. In hours, what, two and three? Embarrassment of riches. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Wow, a number of teases and announcements and weird stuff for Sexy Liberal.
Yeah.
Roland says, due to our insane success, oh, he's such a braggart. We're now on seasons for some theaters, and our season tickets, meaning a small block of seats, etc., going on sale for May 12, 2012 for Minneapolis at noon. Was that noon yesterday? We did put the info in front of sexyliberal.com. In our quiet Hey Minneapolis way, we'll make a big announcement later, but if you want to buy 9 months in advance or conceive now and give the newborn this gift.
Wow.
You're planning ahead.
So Okay. You're returning to Minneapolis
apparently,
next year.
At some point.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And there also might be another
big announcement tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A city that we love. All right.
Yes, we love you.
Uh-huh. All right. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of D&D Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. And now it's time to get free.
Yeah. Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Oh, he's from the newly designed CarlFrisch.com.
Yeah.
Which you freshened up, I understand.
I have. It's been refreshenized.
And you've got stuff. We can find out stuff there. You're having meet and greets in L.A. and San Francisco, correct?
I am. People can find out about him at carlfrisch.com.
The newly designed. How lovely.
Dexter Von Frisch has been slaving away over HTML.
Yes, that's what I thought.
It's a language I don't understand, but dogs apparently are quite good at it. So.
And you will be live in studio with us next week. Bring Dexter along, please.
I will try. He's getting too big for the plane, I think.
All right. So anyway, let's talk about your column about Bat Michelle Bachmann. Because why not? A, always fun. B, she's a little tetchy about the gay issues, isn't she? I can't imagine why.
She wants to talk about it like I did when I was 14.
Yeah, exactly. You were saying she's been dodging press questions about her past comments regarding gay and lesbian community-related issues. The scenario usually plays out something like this. Bachmann is asked about marriage equality or reparative therapy clinics run by her obviously gay husband. And the attempt to magically transform gay people was straight. She ignores the question when press insists she's running for president to fix the economy, not to get involved in light, frivolous matters. That's nice to dismiss a whole group of people as just a light, frivolous, doesn't matter to anybody kind of thing.
Right. I mean, and this is a woman that announced her candidacy for president in her hometown of Waterloo, Iowa.
Hello.
You know, home of John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Who killed Elvis on the toilet. Yes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, and then, you know, this past weekend, a gay African-American teenager was assaulted and killed in Waterloo, Iowa. And it's people like Michelle Bachmann that you know, refuse to talk about these issues, and when they do, get nasty and personal with the community and act homophobic and vote the wrong way and basically say that gay people are not deserving of simple human dignity or equality under the law. That makes it so much easier for these hateful homophobes to commit these murders and these bashings.
Right, and I mean to imply that anybody's, you know, any group of people's human rights or civil rights are a frivolous matter is... And you were saying it's hard to think of another issue that has so monopolized the focus of her entire career. I mean, that's the other weird part of it, you know, is that she's called being gay sexual dysfunction, says if marriage equality were the law of the land, parents would be unable to protect their children. Being gay is the same as bondage. It's part of Satan, you know, and then she tries to deny that she's ever said anything like that.
Right. I mean, you know, gay and lesbian people can take a lot of credit for different things, you know, being involved in the fashion industry, building the fashion industry and the arts community. But we've also built Michelle Bachmann's career.
Yes. I was going to say, and speaking of fashion, Marcus wouldn't have the good taste to pick out her pantsuits were it not for...
And matching shoes shoes to match.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's built her entire career on our backs, and now she doesn't want to talk about us. And we're a significant portion of the population. I think we deserve to know what she'd do to us if elected. And I say what she'd do to us because I don't think she'd do much for us.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be speaking out of school about Marcus Bachmann. I'm just saying if there is a straight man in the world listening right now that knows what shoes go with what, go ahead and call now. Are you kidding me? Straight guy, I don't know, hush puppies with that? I don't really know. Whatever you...
So, well, I'm a good hush puppy with a pantsuit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what you're doing, shall we? Mary Beth Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
Please and thank
please
you.
And thank you.
On the Fox News, on the just the left, quote-unquote, the left.
Yeah, all of the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the left has really infiltrated in the schools since the 1930s. I mean, the people who are in charge of developing curriculum, the people who train our teachers, have really been leftists for a very long time. Roughly two-thirds of young people don't really know why capitalism is best. Oh. But then again, in many classrooms, what is being used as the history curriculum is Howard Zinn's People's History of America. And so, you know, there is a very strong leftist influence that is changing the message in our history.
Mm.
That is a one load of BS right there. I mean, first of all, most Americans don't know who their member of Congress is, so don't blame young people. Don't blame the left for young people not knowing any basics about our history. Most adults don't know basics about our history either.
Yeah.
And the idea that Howard Zinn's book is in two-thirds of classrooms, I mean, she probably pulled his book right out of her ass because that's a bunch of baloney.
Yes.
I would have been happy to have read his book in school, in high school or whenever, but
yeah.
No. Texas gets to choose our books, and that's why I'm sure that a growing number of people believe that evolution is just a theory and that the founders wanted to, you know, free the slaves, and that Paul Revere wanted to warn the British not to take our guns.
Yes.
So
yeah, exactly.
I think there are other people that are confused about our history more than our teenagers.
Yes, that are not smarter than a fifth grader or whatever. All right. Glenn. Oh, Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. His little, what was it, honored rally to restore whatever it was?
I have friends that are on their trips back to Israel, their birthright trips, and they said they couldn't have picked a worse time to have gone for their birthright trips.
Yeah, and apparently even John Voight didn't show up. When something is too crazy for John Voight, then you know that it just is. Julie writes, so much of the crowd, empty chairs galore, not even much enthusiasm for the protests. In other words, a big fat flop. Now Glenn Beck has something to cry about. Here he is in Jerusalem.
Others, I warn you, will say to you, come. Come this way. Come over the horizon.
Oh, boy.
But I warn you, that horizon is a cliff. And when you don't go along, you will stand out. You will be mocked. And in some cases, your life may be in danger.
Mm.
Some will have their reputation destroyed. Some will have their careers ended or their businesses shuttered. Some may pay the ultimate price.
Mm. Ultimate price?
Uh-oh.
But let us now link arms one to another. Let us journey together. And if one shall fall, let 10 join our ranks.
He's really thinking big there. Let 10 join
10,
our ranks.
Yes. That's about how many people were in the audience. Tens
of people to join arms. Yeah. Wow.
Did you catch the beginning of his little remarks there? I mean, it was hard to listen to, but...
Yeah.
Where he said that, be careful, you don't want to fall off the cliff. I mean,
yes, horizon.
I knew that he had problems with science. I did not know that he still believed in the flat earth theory.
Yeah, I have to say, most Glenn Beck clips we play, I have to ask Chris, what the hell is he talking about? And then Chris will say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not even
sure. Well, I mean... And he got really personal, too. He's like, you know, you might lose your job. Like,
yeah. Like I did.
At Fox. Oh, gosh, you guys.
Yeah.
My next rally is going to be at the Tupelo City Mall. It's a strip mall. I'm going to be speaking in front of a supercut.
Well, what he basically was saying there is, you may lose your job and your livelihood if you follow me. But let's link arms anyway.
That sounds fun.
That's $29.99. You can subscribe to Glenn Beck Television.
You know, that sounds vaguely... Branch Davidian, doesn't it?
He is renting that compound down in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's more become like a Bluto in Animal House. I think it's that speech. It's, who's with me? You know what I'm saying? I think that's
over. Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
Germans? Forget it. He's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough. A tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
I mean, at a certain point, don't you feel like we have to take up a collection just for his own mental sanity?
I think so. I do. I really do. All right. Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy.
Oh, yeah. I used to have an antenna helmet, so I would have to do that, and I still wear it today.
You and Al Franken. Didn't Al Franken have that satellite dish?
You mentioned Al Franken on our show?
I did.
What are you thinking?
Well, you're talking about a satellite helmet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a sin to mention Al Franken
on
Fox and Friends.
Actually, you probably more accurately should say Senator Al Franken.
Yeah.
Right. Senator Al Franken, who successfully fought off a lawsuit from Fox News. I mean, they have not been able to stand him ever since he had lying liars and liars who tell him.
Yes.
And had Bill O'Reilly's mug on the cover and, appropriated the Fox News slogan. They've just not been able to handle it.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. Sorry, Carl, didn't mean to cut you off. He remains in the sidecar. Scotiamore Right Wing World with Carl Frisch as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch from the newly designed CarlFrisch.com remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World. All right, Carl, I hate to do it to you, but Stuart Varney on the Fox News. Mm-hmm.
The president wants to spend government money. He wants an infrastructure bank. Probably the Republicans wouldn't go for that, but they probably would go, they would have to go, for emergency spending, rebuilding spending. The president wants to spend government money to stimulate the economy. This would be an excuse. I hate to call it an excuse. The economy is dead stalled on the brink of recession. That's why I say a disaster, an Irene strikes badly, could push us over the edge.
And that would clearly be the president's fault. Who would have caused the hurricane?
Well, he does cause natural disaster. I mean, it was his fault that we had an earthquake in D.C.
Yes.
Whenever I hear him, I just can't help but think that he probably would be better suited teaching diction to Gretchen Carlson in some, like, old tweed coat, you know?
Yes.
And then thinking about how he's getting married in the morning.
Yes. There might be a better use for him. You're correct. All right, Mark.
Well, no, what Stuart Varney was doing there was accusing President Obama of his version of disaster capitalism.
Yes.
Yeah, saying that the government...
Naomi Klein suddenly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Mark Belling in for Limbaugh.
When did we become so wussy? Mm. I don't know what the line... when we crossed the line, but we've gone from a nation that could handle anything to a country filled with people who can't handle anything. Whatever happened to men? Men used to sit around and talk about sports. What do they talk about now? Hair tinting? Guys that are under 30. The majority of them remind me of what girls used to be like.
Oh, I see. It's the whole metrosexual thing.
Yeah, it's killing America.
Yeah, it's killing America. Men used to be men. And talk about
who's
sports.
When did he start taking out with the majority of men under 30?
Yeah.
Yes.
I missed that Gallup poll.
Daddy issues much, Mark?
I don't know anybody who's talked about hair tinting.
Yeah.
Who's he hanging out with?
He wants to talk about sports. Maybe he's talking to the wrong people. These sound like very deeply personal issues
that he needs to work through.
The reason that the country doesn't look like it can handle what it used to be able to handle is because people like him, people that support the policies he supports, has completely destroyed the middle class and created more poor people in this country than we've seen at any time since the Great Depression.
Yeah. See what a wussy you are with that empathy? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Go Minnesota Twins. Carl Frisch, we love you. We'll see you live in studio next week.
See you then.
All right. There he goes. Carl Frisch from CarlFrisch.com. It's all fresh and exciting and new. It's all been redesigned.
Can't wait to see him next week.
Exactly. Could you take your organ out for me? The hilarious stories on the Glenn Beckapalooza thing. Wow. That seemed like a giant belly flop. Just empty chairs.
Yeah.
Come on. when it's too crazy for John Voight to show up. Come on, that's so sad.
And his producer got in trouble. Did you hear about
that?
No. Oh, yeah. His producer was kind of manning the radio show while Glenn was doing his thing in Jerusalem.
Sure.
And the producer said on the air, why don't you turn off this radio show and go to glennbeck.com and sign up for the video feed of it? And he came back from the commercial break and said, don't turn your radio off. He was kind of stammery and stumbly. It was very funny.
I've been told that's not wise.
No, it's not wise at all.
Yes. I just love this. He has, in the end, united people. The headline is, Left and Right Join Forces Against Glenn Beck's Western Wall Rally.
Yeah.
Even in Israel. The combination of Israeli nationalism and Christian subject matter has led to a surprising alliance against Beck. His critics include Israelis who normally oppose each other. Including religious figures and political personalities from both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is hard to do. We all have the same reasons for opposing Glenn Beck, said someone of Peace Now. This is a person who seems to support Israel, but is a fanatic. I don't know how the right wing intends to protest, but if they want to join us, they're welcome. The area near the Western Wall is no place for a political event. We call on you not to lend your rare voice to such an unclean event. Left-wing Knesset members are also expected to take part in the protest. One of them said, my sensitivity and that of those like me leads me to ask what the motives are that leads to such sympathies from him. The event is clearly a Christian event. Glenn Beck says so himself, and now he's giving the Southern Wall Christian significance. That is unacceptable to Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He's pissed everybody off.
Yeah.
And yet brought them all together magically.
You know what Revelation says about the Jews.
What do they? What? What?
they're going to be exterminated pretty much. Mm. And so that's why.
That's how it ends.
That's why Christians like Glenn Beck want to gather all the Jews in one place.
Okay. Wow. Just when I just thought this would be the. After we finish up Right Wing World, it's. Because we keep saying, gee, is it. Gotten, I don't know, unnecessarily nasty, racist, / violent. See, this is why they have to go little fart joke on radio shows like mine.
Mm-hmm.
From when Aisha Tyler makes a joke to try to prove that, liberals are much more violent.
Yeah.
William Geen, have you heard about this guy of Americans for Legal Immigration?
Oh.
He now refers to the president as Dictator Obama. He will not refer to him as the president.
Nice.
And he said, basically, at this point, if you're looking for a peaceful political recourse, there really isn't one that we can think of, and I'm really not sure what to tell people out there, then I guess they need to make a decision soon to just accept whatever comes next, or some type of extra political activities that I can't really talk about because they're all illegal and violent.
Oh, my God.
That seems somewhat, what's the word, actionable.
I hope the Secret Service has paid this gentleman a little visit.
Hello. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The number one cause of teen pregnancy, school violence, and leather pants.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. I sometimes forget to turn my headphones up, so I don't even hear those. So I guess it was funny.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
You're the number one cause of teen pregnancy and leather pants.
Oh, that's true. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. I sometimes don't even know where I am.
You're like the Admiral Stockdale of the Stephanie Miller Show.
My own show, that's right. Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. You can always tell when we're about a week out from vacation.
Yeah.
Just flapping
the wires. The wheels just come right off the train.
Yeah, the jalopy. Okay.
Yes. And we're like that. We become like that big train crash in The Fugitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All the prisoners will escape.
Yep.
All right. Hey, I know what will perk us up.
Return.
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return. David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
And he's now not just David Bender, he's David Bender with the Progressive Voices, the mobile app.
Yes.
He's not just a man, he's a mobile app.
I am a mobile app, and when the train crashes, I'm going to run away from it handcuffed to my mobile app.
Exactly.
In search of a one-armed man.
Exactly. Thank you, David Bender.
God knows any man will do.
Thank you for picking up the fugitive ball and running with it. Now,
Speaking of the fugitive ball and running with it, I got to tell you something. This Glenn Beck story is really, really troubling. I heard you talking about it, and I think to myself, after thousands of years wandering the deserts, my people, my poor, long-suffering people finally wind up in a homeland. And then Glenn Beck arrives.
And then, yes, of all the things, the plagues,
I mean,
now Glenn Beck.
And the locusts and all the rest, haven't we suffered enough?
Exactly. Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that. Come on. It's not right. It's not right. You know, I read a story.
As a Shiksa, I deeply apologize.
I read a story. Think about this, how it could have turned out. At the time that Palestine was being formed, at the time the State of Israel was being formed, there was an effort in America to persuade President Truman. It was actually led by one of the studio heads, Jack Warner of Warner Brothers, said, I have the solution. It shouldn't be Palestine. That's a bad place for the Jews to go. And he sent President Truman a long memo and then met with him saying, let's send them to Alaska.
Aha. Uh-huh. I must have missed that. Now, let's
just think how great it could have been. Sarah Palin could be the head of the Jewish state today.
All right. Political guru extraordinaire, David Bender. So less than 2 weeks, a week and a half about after making his presidential run official, Rick Perry, how terrifying is that, which you've said this, leading as the Republican favorite according to a new Gallup poll. Mitt Romney, of course, had led. Michelle Bachmann may have won Iowa, but Gallup now has her fourth behind Romney and Ron Paul. Perry even leads among possible contenders who look like they might announce their candidacy but haven't yet. He's 14 points ahead of Sarah Palin. So what? I was going to say Rasmussen doesn't currently have Perry stacking up quite so well against Obama, though. What do you make of the new polling?
What I make of it is that, first off, always cast your mind back 4 years to this point. So we are at the end of August in 2011, end of August 2007, Hillary Clinton was 20 points ahead of Barack Obama.
Yep.
Rudy Giuliani was leading the field. This is the guy who had dropped out by, you know, after four primaries. Rudy Giuliani was, you know, by far the biggest front runner. Now, the difference in particularly in the Giuliani numbers is that, you know, he was so widely known. A lot of that was name recognition.
Sure.
Right now, Rick Perry still is known to by name to only about two-thirds, three-quarters of Republican voters. He has room to still introduce himself. Now, my own view is the more people know him, the less they will be supporting him, but we'll find that out. That, remember, this is still the Republican field, so he may actually get some more support as he is better known.
Yeah, I mean, David, you make a good point that, you know, is polling really relevant at this stage? Is this, you know, the media needs a story, so this is it. But, you know, it is interesting. I read an analysis of that somewhere else, that this is why Rick Perry actually may be a great thing for us, because I don't know who did all the analysis, but that Mitt Romney actually does better in the long run. So if this is true, I mean, that's exactly what this poll is saying, that Rick Perry is going to win the Republican nomination, but he doesn't do as well. I mean, I think I hope every day people are starting to get how extreme he is. Do you think,
I hope that too, but the problem is, as you've heard me say before, politics is a zero-sum game. It is whoever is standing against Barack Obama. And when you're looking at electoral math, we're talking about carrying states like Florida. We are talking about where a white Republican with a Southern accent is going to be able to stand against Barack Obama and say, however inaccurate it is, however false it is. Remember, George Bush ran on total falsehoods. I'm going to be the compassionate conservative. It doesn't matter, provided at the end of the day that person is standing there saying, I can fix the economy. He did not. And whoever wins that nomination, we have to be very careful about the let's wish for the most extreme candidate, because, again, that was what people in Jimmy Carter's administration were praying for with Ronald Reagan.
Right, but what I'm saying is right now, at least, some of the early polling is showing that. And I think we're seeing it, aren't we? I mean, Chris was saying, God, John Huntsman's making a lot of sense lately. Like, yes, that's why he's falling farther and farther behind in the pack of the Republican. Rick Perry, again, the most far-right lunatic fringe candidate in the race, of course, going to the top of the pack. So, and like you say, we'll see. It's early, but I mean, if that holds true, the polling now, he's not going to win against Obama. I hope that's true.
But again, it will not hold. Nothing, none of this is going to hold true. The numbers to watch are not the polling numbers right now, but they're the economic numbers, and they're the numbers to watch all the way throughout. No president has ever won with unemployment above 7%. Period. End of story. It has never happened. It could happen. It's not inconceivable if the alternative is so horrific. And Barack Obama, one thing to remember, that and Hillary Clinton remembers it, underestimating him is a mistake.
Yeah, well,
and
I mean,
he is a strong closer.
And I was going to say, and speaking of horrific options, are you in the camp, as our friends Rachel Maddow and Richard Wolff are, that Sarah Palin is going to get in, or are you still holding to the chief?
You know, I have gone back and forth on this one because I would have sworn that, you know, she likes money even more than votes. I mean, she's walked away from elective office. I don't think she thinks that's, you know, the be-all, end-all. She doesn't like governing, but she does like running. She likes being a candidate, and she likes the attention. So right now she is making all the moves. She hasn't hired people. She doesn't have an infrastructure, but she may be the only candidate that you can't use those tea leaves to read about, because normally right now, one of the things Michelle Bachmann did that has made her effective, the reason she won the Ames straw poll, aside from paying 6,000 people to vote for her, which is always a good thing to do, is that she hired people. She hired Ed Rollins. She hired people who know how to run campaigns. Palin has none of that. Palin has almost as much staff as Newt Gingrich. And the problem is, if you look at that, no, she's not running. But the simple fact is, she may do something that goes back to when I remember doing those campaigns back in the 19th century. I remember this well. It was the old William McKinley front porch strategy. And it's really funny stuff, because I actually think this is true for Sarah Palin. She doesn't hold press conferences. She doesn't need to do big rallies. She doesn't need to do the things like Rick Perry and his call rally. She can simply go on Facebook or Twitter and get reported. So she never has to do the traditional kind of campaigning. She has become the Kim Kardashian of politics. She's going to get covered simply for being famous, not because she has policy positions or runs a campaign. I don't know how that translates into votes, and we may find out if she gets in.
Except with her, it's related to being an ass and not the size of her. Now, David, bizarrely, by the way, I'm reading these Gallup numbers because this may lead to me having to apologize to all the Ron Paul fans that call me a C-word after I called him unelectable on Howard Kurtz's CNN show.
No, in the general election, he is unelectable.
Strong and strong.
Yeah, but this says, bizarrely, in a separate poll, they found Ron Paul doing pretty well in that category, meaning the matchup against Obama. So, I mean, you're right, the polling is a little crazy right now.
Well, you know, Ron Paul could, if Ron Paul were not running in a Republican primary, if Ron Paul could organize and run as an independent and had the funding to do it, which he really doesn't, he's you know, not Ross Perot, he can't organize that, but if he could, he would draw from both parties and would be a significant threat. He really would.
Yeah.
He just has no place to go within the Republican Party. He is an incredible disappearing man. The better he does, the less attention he gets.
Yep. David, give me your thoughts on this, the Politico piece. It's interesting. It's in Money Race, it's Advantage Dems. Republicans seem positively gleeful these days. They write at their prospects headed into 2012 by this new Gallup poll showing a handful of Republicans within striking distance of Obama, as well as recent predictions the GOP will hold the House and take the Senate. Yet despite the apparent momentum, the National Party committees tasked with ushering Republicans to victory trailed the Democratic counterparts in raising money for 2012. It's interesting, right, after all we hear about this.
I wish I thought that was – remember, we're in our second post-Citizens United election in this cycle. And if 2010 was an example, it was when the floodgates were first, you know, they were just turning the crank to open the floodgates. Now the gates have been brought down. So with the kind of stuff that we saw in Wisconsin spending, the Koch brothers spending, the Karl Rove PAC spending, that even with public opinion overwhelmingly against Republicans in Wisconsin, they were able to hold that third state Senate seat. barely, a couple thousand votes. That was millions and millions of dollars, the most expensive elections on a local level they've ever seen.
Well, what do you attribute this to? Politico says even with a slowdown in fundraising during the debt ceiling debate last month, Democratic Party committees raised $24 million more this year than their Republican counterparts, a money gap more than twice as large as the Democratic advantage at similar points in either of the two previous election cycles.
And what I'm saying is that at the end of the day, it won't be that money that's going to matter. The Democrats may actually outspend the Republicans head-to-head. It will be those independent committees. And there's Priorities USA, which has been set up by Bill Burton, who used to work for the president, is doing the same thing now that Karl Rove's GPS group did in the last cycle. And that's where the matchup is. It's not – looking at the party committees now is like looking at, you know, kindergarten. The real spending is going to come from outside the party entities, and at a rate of 4 or 5 to 1 more than the parties will spend. So all of the numbers we used to look at, you know, back with Rutherford B. Hayes, I mean, they don't add up anymore because that's not where the money is. And the problem with that is that means that candidates themselves don't control their own campaigns. The independent expenditures, you can say, as John McCain used to say, I don't want any of that independent money, and it would be spent anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
David, all right, will you remain in the sidecar, please?
I am sitting in the sidecar.
Since you are a mobile app yourself, David Bender remains in the sidecar. We continue 46 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
All the world's waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Dancing here with my little book.
Yeah.
Bracelets. 51 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Return to Bender once again. David Bender of...
Hey. Hey there, can I be your Marcus Bachman?
Yes, please. Please.
I want to pick out your new underwear. Because this old tea party in your pants thing, it's not going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you need a Muslim atheist party in your pants because it's going to be more popular.
Thank you, David Bender. You should be my house husband that picks out my sexy liberal outfits for the tour.
I feel that I am now. You know, you've seen the polling. And by the way, here's the interesting thing. Tied at the bottom of the least popular institutions in polling.
Yes.
Below Muslims, below
atheists. Yes.
Are two things.
Yes.
It's not only the Tea Party, but tied is the Tea Party and Sarah Palin.
Oh, God love them. God love you, American people. You do know what you're talking about, after all. David, let's go to Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike, you're on with David Bender. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, David. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Here's a variable that no one's talking about. This should scare the life out of everyone. You know how Karl Rove hates Rick Perry?
Yes.
I keep asking myself, when is he going to Tanya Harding him? I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. And I thought to myself,
yes, who's better at kneecapping than Karl Rove?
Yeah. Right. What happens if Karl Rove is right now talking to Jeb Bush? If he can get Jeb Bush to get in the swimming pool, he's going to seem the most sane out of everyone, and all the votes could go to Jeb Bush.
Zoinks. David, your thoughts? We've heard this before.
Mike's absolutely right. There is Karl Rove and the Bush people. It's actually way beyond. There was this, you know, sort of Hatfields and McCoys thing going on in Texas for years that Rick Perry never had much regard for his predecessor. And so it's more than that. Jeb Bush is not going to run this time. He is going to run next time.
Mm-hmm.
So really what they want, what the out-of-power Bush establishment wants is for whoever loses to Obama to pave the way for Jeb in 2016. And
right.
They worry most that Rick Perry, if he wins, is going to make that impossible. Jeb's not getting in to go head-to-head, but that's why, by all accounts, Jeb and others have been talking to people like Paul Ryan. To get him to get in. Now, Paul Ryan's not going to do it.
I know.
George Pataki is
going to get in?
Dirk Pitaki is apparently going to Iowa to announce
wow.
that he's running.
Yes, there is a groundswell of excitement.
Are there crickets to be heard?
Yes.
Yes. Those are the Pitaki voters in the Iowa Republican Party. The only other possibility of someone that could get in and roil the race and possibly compete at this point is Chris Christie.
Yes, that would. Well, that's many think that's what the earthquake was yesterday, him jumping in, but it turned out to not be. So.
Oh, those poor people on the East Coast, they thought it was a seismic event.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's not going to get in, is he, or is he?
No, I don't think so.
He has said no, but again, when you are handed all of this support, this institutional support, if it is anybody other than Rick Perry right now, it used to be Mitt Romney was that guy, and he may still wind up being that guy. But this is about not only this election, but it's about the next election. And Mike in Chicago is exactly right. This is about how Jeb Bush restores the Bush dynasty in 2016, which is the plan.
Well, what do you think is Mike right? Is Karl Rove going to kneecap him when he's standing on one of those haystacks? Is he going to big guy in a tracksuit?
Bernanke thing. I mean, he's trying to do it. It's going to be interesting. He can do it only so far without it backfiring. Again, we're going to see how this plays out. They need someone to use. And if we see an alliance of convenience, if we see Karl Rove and Mitt Romney in a photo op, you know how this is playing out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I mean. You can't tell, what's coming from what camp, right? I mean, I think, what was it, the migraine story? They thought, that was the Pawlenty camp. I mean, they keep accusing liberals, going, we're just standing back. You're doing it. Y'all are doing it to each other right now.
We're just watching the fun.
Well, and you're going to be on your vacation when the first Republican debate happens at the Reagan Library on September 7th.
Oh, boy.
Now remember that the famous Reagan line was the 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican.
Yeah.
He's going to be right there at the Reagan Library, and believe me, it's not going to hold.
What? Now, Sarah Palin also, that's what everybody's talking about, is giving this speech in Iowa, right, after Labor Day?
Yep.
And how? Now, explain Iowa to me. They've already had the straw poll, but there's what? There's another one there? Why is she going there?
I don't know if there's another straw poll, but she's going there because Iowa, the caucus in January, is going to be the first determinant. And we're almost there. This is now about locking up support. There, Tim Pawlenty basically moved to Iowa for a year and a half.
So what's the difference between the straw poll and what happens in January?
The straw poll, it was a fundraiser for the Ames County party. That's all it was. The straw poll was simply it had no binding significance. The caucus in January will send delegates ultimately to the Republican convention. That's the first time delegates will be chosen. So whoever wins there at least will begin the march to actually having enough votes to win at the party's convention, which I think is in Florida.
All right. David, quickly before you go, I was just going to say, I know that Robert Gibbs could barely contain a snicker on Meet the Press because Michelle Bachmann said that hers is the candidacy they fear most. Whose is the candidacy you fear most against Obama?
Rick Perry's.
Yeah.
Rick Perry's, because I think he's never lost an election. He is willing to say and do anything to win. And he's got the money. He's got a major state behind him. He's got the southern accent, which is going to play very well. If I'm being honest, it's Rick Perry.
All right, we're out of time, honey.
Don't forget to get your copy of Dick Cheney's memoirs to read on the plane on your vacation.
Oh, yes, a little light summer reading for me. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Kathleen Madigan on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, don't you love friends that bring a gift when they come to visit? Oh, some people are just raised right. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal website to find out about all the upcoming dates. Wow, speaking of sexy liberals, ladies and gentlemen, Kathleen Madig is here.
I'm here.
What did you bring? You brought a dish to pass?
Yes, I did. I don't just get up for radio.
You don't just
bring
wine.
Live presents.
Comedy royalty.
And here is your good morning present, America.
Louis Black is here! Woo!
Yeah, boy, some gift.
I said at 1 in the morning when we were drinking, why don't you get up and do radio with me?
Yeah.
Stephanie was asking about you.
Yeah, and I said, sure.
Yeah, yep. you lost a bet, didn't you? You don't get into a drinking game with Kathleen Madigan. Anyone knows that.
Yeah, no, this is getting really, it's starting to cost me, it's exhausting. She got me into Twitter, now this.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I could be sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, and Jim's not here, but Jim sometimes channels Louis Black.
Yeah.
This is actually Louis Black, just so you know. It is not Jim doing Louis Black. We are such huge fans, as you probably know.
Well, that's very kind.
You look stunned. You look Kathleen got here last week an hour earlier, and she's like, it's dark still.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I'm serious. We came in. I said, I don't know how you do this. I got no clue. There's nothing that would get me up to
yeah.
do. This is
well,
fun now.
You know, I said that too, and you know what did it? 2 years of unemployment. That's what did it. I said, I will never get it. What time did you need me? Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that would do it. They said... God, years ago, about 10 years ago, it was like they, you know, when there was all that, oh, we need more radio people to be shocking,
sure,
and disturbing, and so they came to me and said, you want a gig? And they started talking to me about it, and I just said, what time do I have to be up? And they said, 4 o'clock, and I said, no.
No.
It's
a very short discussion.
I would rather just wander. I was still doing clubs. I'd rather wander from comedy club to comedy. I'd walk.
That reminds me of somebody talking about pitching Mike Ovitz once, and they didn't even get, like, halfway through the sentence. He was like, no. And he just slammed the door. No.
There was,
no.
ABC was pitching, this was recently, too. There's some daytime thing where people are going to talk, and they wanted me involved, and I go, wait a minute, is this every day? And the lady goes, yeah. I go, oh, no, I've come to the wrong job interview. I'm not interested in that.
The hilarious thing that we have two of the most brilliant and the laziest comics in the world here at Insane O'Clock with us is really quite stunning.
And then he goes, well, how can I be in this building this long and not smoke? And I said, well, apparently there's a secret smoking area. I haven't found it yet.
Yes. We know everyone knows the Kathleen Madigan rule. She needs to be able to smoke and do the job in her pajamas. And if not,
and
she
Lewis
can't
is working on another project where it's 3.5 minutes long
and
pajamas and smoking.
Yeah.
That's how long we want to work, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, that was, I just had these talks yesterday with, internet stuff, that thing that seems to be staying with
us. Sure, seems to be sticking.
I said, how long does this show need to be? They were describing all these shows they had, and they said 3.5 minutes. I went, perfect! Perfect!
You know, that's really our brilliance, comedians. Not just that we make a living telling fart jokes, but that we figure out a way to work the least amount of time. But is there a job where it can only work about 45 minutes a day?
And I found one easy. The only job easier than ours, Judd's choreographer. I was like, they have a choreographer? They don't move. And it's just this really flamboyant black guy who runs out and goes, move the stool. And then he runs away because she just sits on the stool the whole time. I'm like, Judd's choreographer? Are you kidding me? The second easiest joke Oprah seriously has, and this woman's made a lot of money off her book, she has a mindful eating coach.
Oh.
To which I said, if you're that lady, you should say, eat whatever comes to mind. I mean, I cannot believe
it. Check.
But I mean, how hard is that? She's already overweight. Just let her go.
Just let her go.
Right.
It's not my fault. At least she's mindful of what she's eating.
Exactly.
I know. I've actually talked to people about what we... That's the only reason I think we all keep our careers, because it's literally terrifying. The idea of... I asked a friend, I'm like, seriously, so you go in at what, like 9, and then you're still there at like... You mean you need to stay there with those same people till what, 5, 6? Something?
Yeah.
I did it for a year, and that was that. And I never went back. And they said, well, how'd you do? What did you do? What did you do with your life? I said, I didn't eat. I didn't care. I'd rather not eat than spend that much time.
Yeah, under fluorescent lighting with people you don't really care for.
In a government job.
There you go. There you go.
In a federal government job. And I was great at it.
Look, there's our Lewis Black impersonator back there. We're out of microphones
yes.
now. There's
still more
to
hear.
I have a successful Starbucks experience today, so I don't have enough Lewis Black rage in me.
Yes, he's talked about going into his Lewis Black rage when it takes too long at Starbucks.
Shouldn't they just have two lines? Seriously, people who just want coffee and then freakazoid drink. I want the triple latte steam mocha smoker extra hot. Get out, and then people, out of line.
And then people stocking up on the ground coffee.
Yes, I need just coffee. And how about the honor system? I'll throw a five in. I mean, the coffee's already, whatever, $4.
I need 4 pounds of the Jamaican Flippy Whippy and ground for what, a flat or for would you like a medium? Get out of the way! I gotta go to work!
If I worked there, I would be the spree lady who would come in with a rifle and kill everyone. I would kill all the customers because I hate them. I hate what they order. I hate how they order it. And I'm not speaking Latin or Italian or whatever that is. I just want a medium. I'm not playing your game.
A vende or grande. I don't know the difference.
I don't either.
What is it?
I put it in the same category.
I do the same thing. I always go the big one. That one.
Yeah. I always go large, jumbo. Just get it. I point at the cup. I refuse to say those words. I've always refused. The other thing is don't ask me if I want a cupcake or something either. I'd ask for the cupcake. Okay? I'm not an idiot.
I'd ask for it if I wanted that, okay?
It's sitting in front of me. You've got you shoved that case in my face. Now they go, look at these little tiny cupcakes. They only have 300 calories. Are you serious? You made a cupcake that small? It's not even a bite, schmuck.
Oh, he's a man after my own heart. That's what I do. It's before caffeine. You just point and grunt. The size in the middle there. All right. So, kids, how are we feeling at Lewis about politics these days?
I don't have to.
You don't.
Summer. I'm off.
You're off. You're done.
Okay? Yeah. They shouldn't be running. It has to stop.
Yes. You know, starts too early.
Look, at what point don't we get it? I'm serious. Not even is my job. As people go, this must be an exciting time for you. No. I have reached, how do you not have figured out that by the time they're actually running, because they've been with you so long, you hate them?
Yes.
You have reached the point of hate.
Yeah.
Well, not the run out and yell and hit people kind of hate, but just you make me sick. Like a bad marriage. I don't want to see your face. I don't want you in the room with me. You're a schmuck. How does Rick Perry leap into the lead? On the basis of what?
I know, yeah. And he's up 11 points. And Mitt Romney's down 6.
And Michelle Bachmann is even on here. Even.
It is true. You go, just when you thought the dumb clown car couldn't get fuller, here comes Governor, Rick Perry. I mean, they're just...
And then they all deny every poll. Like, it'll be on Fox News where Rick Perry's in the lead. Well, that's a liberal poll. And then you switch on CNN. Rick Perry's in the lead. Well, that's a conservative poll.
Yeah.
So-and-so is really... I don't know who they're... Yeah. I've never been polled for anything in my life.
Well, it's not what I've heard, Kathleen, but that's a different story when you're drinking on the road. Now... we were just talking to, political strategist David Bender, and the other thing is you go, this is our job to talk about this crap, the polling, and you go, it's a year and whatever away. At this point, Hillary was up 20 points. At this point, so it's just, it's almost like, you're right, why are we talking about this now? It's not for over here.
It's barbecue time. It's time to barbecue. It's summer. It's vacation. Shut up! The good people of Iowa. Idiots. Idiots. Why would you allow those people in? Every time I'm in Iowa performing, I go, you're the dumbest group of... Why would you allow these people in your state? Don't you set up roadblocks? There are only like 300 people who go to those coffee clutches.
Yeah. And even people with that kind of taste in food. How do they even get allowed to choose anything?
Well, I got to defend the corn dog. Yeah. I got it. The Midwest to defend the corn dog.
The filleting of the corn
Maybe
dog?
Maybe
like
not
Michelle
the photograph,
Bachmann
Michelle Bachmann, if you're running for president. Don't shove a corn dog in your mouth at a fair, ever.
Yeah.
It can't ever look appropriate.
Yeah, with a 360-degree angle, too.
Yeah.
There was no handler's block. You could see her just, Linda Lovelacing that thing from every angle.
Yeah, but at least it's a talent. At least she's got one. That's a start.
I don't know how anyone could seriously consider voting for her when she thinks the rapture's coming soon.
Yeah.
Because I said to her, I don't want a president who thinks it's last call. Because I know how I behave at last call, and it is reckless and aggressive and ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you mean it's last call? I'll have 3 shots of tequila. Come on, Eddie. I didn't hear it. You know I didn't hear it. You said it at the other end of the bar.
She really thinks the rapture's coming. Did you read the New Yorker article out? The well, I call them the dominoes. What do they call it? Dominionism?
Yes.
That is crazy. I mean, what? They have a secret thing that's going on.
Yeah. Let's take a listen. You want the hair to stand up?
Lord, the day is at hand.
Here it comes.
We are in the last days.
Awesome.
You are Jehovah God.
Okay. And she talks to God like a toddler.
That's her?
Yes.
That's her. That really makes me, I'm going to have to go. See, you just ended my day.
He's going to start barbecuing at 7 in the morning now.
It's the Jehovah God, Lou, which isn't the Jewish God. I don't know if you know that, but you're not going anywhere.
No, I
don't. So you can get comfortable right here in your angry shoes.
Yeah,
and you can
I'll be down here barbecuing. Goodbye. Have a good time. I can get into the health club.
You know, I got to say, Chris, the best political analysis we've had on this show, and that is, it's August. Shut up and go barbecue. There you go. Louis Black.
The only one. The one guy staying out is Huntsman. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I watched it. He was speaking Chinese on CNN, and
really?
I'm all in. I'm not a Republican, but if I had to pick one, just because it's hilarious to watch him speak Chinese, and we're going to need somebody that can talk to these people.
And that's
he can answer the phone and go, oh, you look for America? Wrong number. We don't have your money now. Sent in mail. Check in mail.
You go now.
I know you. We owe you a lot of money. Hold on. You speak to John. And then we put John Huntsman on, and he just said something in Chinese. And
you're not speaking Chinese, Kathleen Madigan. That's just a really silly accent.
It's Chinese.
Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with Kathleen Madigan and her gift to us, Louis Black, this morning. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. I know our chat room, our Twitter has exploded. The fact that Kathleen Madigan brought Louis Black with her this morning, and there's just too much comedy brilliance all in one spot. And you got Louis on Twitter, and now he likes to mock you that he has more followers.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. But he also, what I did is I set it up on his phone, but then I didn't teach him how to use it. See you later, Louis. Good luck. You're going to get interested, but you won't know how. No, really, I don't know how to do it on the void that he carries around.
Which I won't be carrying around long either, because that's a piece of
these are not the droids you're looking for.
Really, seriously, this phone now, after 8 months, turns on. If you turn it off, and it comes back on again. And I'm not the only case of this. Now, how is that even humanly possible, unless they're controlling it from another planet? I rest my case.
Perhaps Glenn Beck is controlling it from Jerusalem. Jill in Chicago, you're on with Kathleen and Louis. Go ahead. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to let you know that when you played that clip of Glenn Beck speaking in Jerusalem earlier, mm-hmm. both of my dogs, who were sleeping peacefully, came running into my office and started growling and barking at the radio.
Yes.
And it took me about 15 minutes to get them to calm down.
Yes, one of the many, many side effects of Glenn Beck. All right.
I thought I'd share that with
All
you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. It's a kind of a big flop, I guess, the Glenn Beck rally. And he was too crazy for John Boyd to even show up.
Who was scheduled. I only saw the headline. What is he doing over there?
It's the restoring something. Love.
Yeah.
Courage.
Well, serving pork and cheese sandwiches with
shrimp
poppers on the side.
That's
a
bad idea. That's bad.
Didn't go over well.
He actually moved the time.
Enjoy the trafe.
He actually moved the time of the Jerusalem rally to accommodate Ramadan. Did you see that?
Great.
He moved his Muslim bashing to another hour. So it's just, out of respect, which is very nice.
Aren't his numbers bad enough that he has to quit yet? Seriously, Glenn Beck.
TV show's already gone. Yeah.
Right, but is anybody still listening?
The radio show, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
There's always somebody out there. The dogs were listening.
Her dogs right. enjoy him. Yes.
You know?
Kim has a career suggestion for Kathleen Madigan. Hi, Kim.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. You're on with Kathleen Madigan. Go ahead.
No, I think it's so exciting. I never call the radio, but I love Kathleen Madigan. I think she's hilarious, and I think she would be an excellent Secretary of State.
I do, too.
Only if all of the world leaders would come to my house, because I would... Look at Hillary Clinton. Look at her. She looks terrible. The Botox has fallen out. Her hair's a mess. She hasn't been home in 2 years. The poor lady goes to the jet. She gets on it, and then Obama's, you know, tweeting her, uh-oh, there's a bar fight in Siberia. Your problem, not mine. LOL. Obama. Smiley face, smiley face. And then she has to put on the local outfits. I would draw the line there. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not getting in your...
That's why it would be so. That was why it would be so good. You would be the new face of the Secretary of State.
Well, thank you.
No more. You could wear that little Mexican Mexican restaurant outfit. I love that routine. By the way.
You know what? If anyone could pull that off, Kathleen Madigan could actually get named Secretary of State with the same rules that she has to be able to smoke and stay in her pajamas.
Yeah. She would. It's the local outfits. Like, I can't believe Hillary goes along with that. Just because I'm in Ethiopia, I'm not getting in your fire dance costume. No. I look ridiculous. No one's going to see my arms on TV. There's rules, and I would stick with them.
No one looks good in this. I'm not.
Yeah. The local people don't wear it anymore for a reason.
Yeah.
That's why it's an outdated
exactly.
outfit.
Exactly. That's why
bad.
It's a historical thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. They don't make those people come over here dressed up like pilgrims and go, here's your giant belt buckle. Hope you look good today. Here's your ass. No one does it but us. Angela Merkel in a pilgrim outfit. Well. You don't see that going on.
Maybe Lederhosen. No, or Dirndl. Well, actually, suit her better.
Speaking of, look, they found Gaddafi or he released an audio or something.
All the Libyans should come to Tripoli to cleanse it from the rats. Come to Tripoli to cleanse it from traitors.
It just sounds just like the Glenn Beck audio, doesn't
it? Does.
You can't tell which crazy guy is talking from where. Yeah. He's, don't you love this? So the president appears to have made the right decision about Libya. The right-wingers all on record is saying this was disastrous and calling for, you know, Gaddafi's ouster. That was never going to happen. And now, you know.
Well, the amazing thing was that it, you know, it took 5 months. That they're screaming that it took 5 months.
Yeah.
We're still in two wars.
Yeah.
And we did this happened in 5 months. I don't care. It's 5 months. You just can't say this is too long when you're in two other wars. How do you do that?
Yeah.
They're just beyond belief. They literally have created separate realities.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole rapture crap. And I really hate to disparage other people's religions, but look.
I hate to call your religion crap, but I'm just saying.
But it's in the sense of if you believe in it, then everything about, you know, the environment, global warming, it's thrown out the window. You don't need it. Who cares?
Right.
We're going to die. Who cares?
Right.
You throw out all of the basic rules of everyday life.
It's a race to the bottom of dumb on the Republican side. They have to, literally, that's a disqualifier if you believe in science of any kind.
Well, actually, we went from, we've gone from stupidity. Now we're just trying flat-out ignorance.
Yeah.
Let's just be ignorant.
Yeah. Chris, take your organ off of this one. WorldNet Daily, you know, the right-wing whack website, the earthquake on the East Coast was a message from God, and D.C. deserves worse. He said, occasionally God really does shake things up to sign us on to the consequences of disobedience and indifference to our Creator. The earthquake turned out to be a warning, but there will be a bigger one coming. Washington deserves more than the wallop it got today.
Yeah, but if there's a tornado in some trailer park in Arkansas, that's just weather.
That's weather, yeah.
Weather.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with God.
And if they always blame God for weather, but really, God, if I'm God and I want to get the bad people, do I go for New Orleans with Katrina? Or how about Vegas? How do you bypass Vegas on the list of where are bad things happening?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's a type of young woman who, like the cuckoo bird or the whippoorwill, gets her name from the signature sound she makes.
Thank you. The this hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad. With GoToMyPC, free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code, Stephanie. I'm sure that's what Kathleen Madigan was doing just then. They're fiddling with their gadgets and their Twitters and their... I am not a gadget person, so I am befuddled by much of modern technology. My friend yesterday just got a, what is it called, Chris? A touch.
iPod touch.
She has a BlackBerry for phone calls and emails. It's too complicated for grandma these days. And then she got that because it has it for a camera, because it's better for pictures.
Well,
because my BlackBerry sucks for pictures.
I know. Yeah. But that's because the iPhone doesn't work as a phone. That's why Steve had to send a resignation letter.
Yes,
he couldn't call anybody.
He's like,
he
all right.
He tried to call and quit. He was like, hey, guys, I can't. I can't hear you. Hold on. Let me call you on my BlackBerry.
I'm going through
a
tunnel.
That's what I just said. I've heard the iPhone's not a great phone.
It's
and
a
you
terrible
said,
phone.
Yeah.
It's a terrible phone. That's why Lou switched to the Droid, which now...
What's the difference? What's a Droid? What's the difference?
It's a different operating system.
Google came up with this. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing.
But the thing with an iPhone is that there are so many other ways to communicate on the iPhone that you don't use the phone a whole lot.
I do. I'm chatty.
You're a talk show host.
I actually literally have a rotary dial phone in my house.
Occasionally, I like the comfort of a voice to know that I'm really communicating with the person I think I'm communicating with, so I have some sort of a check. The reason iPhone wasn't a phone was because AT&T was the carrier.
Yeah, and it was crappy service. You can't even get service
well,
in my
it was
house.
I used to say it was a carrier in the same way that a mosquito carries malaria.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
You'd be lucky if it showed up.
What's crazy is his iPhone didn't work. Doesn't work. Well, he doesn't have it anymore, but it never worked anywhere. And the iPhone people are selfish because they don't care that I can't call them. You know what
yes,
I mean? They
of course,
just walk around going, well, I don't care.
That's probably
well,
why, so you can't call and complain.
Left. But then when we went to we were in Afghanistan, and his iPhone, the thing worked in a tent in Kabul. I go, how is this possible? This doesn't work
this
in
Europe.
This
is the one spot AT&T
yeah.
covers?
We found
this tent?
We found the hot spot. This is why the terrorists are winning. Hello, they can call one another.
Wait a minute. I don't know. This sounds like tech support for some reason. The show has turned into. But so
don't
now
text
you,
like my brother.
Now you can get Verizon. Does that make the iPhone work any better? Or is it just the phone itself that's not a great phone?
I think it's the phone because the Verizon still drops calls.
Yeah, there's still the same amount of complaints on the Verizon. And, yeah. You know, the fact that I know this stuff is creeping me out.
That's how I officially knew I got old is when I watched teenagers. I'm like, look at them. They're texting each other and they're sitting right there. Why don't you just talk to each other? And I just pulled my shawl a little tighter. Damn.
Harumph. I can't text. I mean, it just takes me too long. It's only, you know, okay, nope. Maybe.
It does not anticipate my thoughts. Did you mean, no, that is not what I meant. What, it takes me so long to write the right word. It keeps trying to correct me. I'm like, no.
The best one I saw, my friend Sean is Jewish, and she typed in, she was trying to type in bat mitzvah, and it kept coming up Batman.
Batman.
She's like, Jews have never been that cool. I wish we were. I wish it was called Batman.
A Batman mitzvah.
A Batman.
That would be cool.
Oh, are you having your Batman this weekend?
No.
Totally. You can turn that feature off, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd rather just misspell than have this thing, you know, go from Batman to Batman, and then I got to erase all that.
Especially if it's a good friend. You're like, you know what I meant by flicking at the flark.
And you know I can't spell. So come on.
Come on.
Did you mean to say bodhisattva?
No!
No!
And then they've got that thing now, which the Droid system has, which is a keyboard which shows up occasionally because I make a mistake, that you wipe your finger along it, and you go to the letters, and you swipe.
Yeah.
Around, so you kind of do this whole thing with you basically like spaghetti hands trying to do this thing, and people can do that. People can text like massive amounts of stuff off, and it's like to me, it's like I'm still when I even put that keyboard down, I still have to like punch around and find the letters. I hate it.
Hey, I know. Let's take a call from a right winger that'll make Lewis Black mad. Hey, Darren in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Lewis Black and Kathleen Madigan. Hi, Darren.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm starting out fresh, but I'm sure you're not going to like me by the end.
Okay.
I just want to tell you something. First of all, I'm a conservative. I like to look at all the debates, the points. I find two things that is very disturbing to me.
Okay.
Most people start out with liberal and become conservative, but very few people go from conservatism to liberalism, and I know exactly why.
That's not true. A lot of people that were, even people in my family, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater. Both of my sisters.
Those are anecdotes.
Okay, Ron
anecdotes.
Reagan. Okay.
Nationally,
half the Goldwaters.
Okay.
Julie Eisenhower.
He went from a liberal conservative.
Yeah, a lot of very famous Republican families. A lot of people are liberal now.
There's a reason why that's the case, and I figured it out.
Okay.
The reason is that when I go and I talk about conservatism, they talk about the issues minus the religion. I am not a religious conservative. Forget that. I'm a conservative when it comes to the rational principles of different topics. But all I hear from liberalism when I want to hear a counter debate on any specific issue is I hear ad hominem. All I hear is, that guy's a jerk. He's an idiot. They don't really talk about the
Yeah, well, you know, stop. Stop. Okay? I get it. I totally get what you're saying. But the fact of the matter is that when I listen, that you have no one at all out there truly representing you within your conservative element. It's totally coming through trash-wise. And the liberals, it's coming totally through trash-wise, okay? You don't really, neither side really is expressing the philosophy they're supposed to be expressing, which has nothing to do with the crap that's coming out. All right.
Darren, I don't think Lewis Black is wrong to say Rick Perry is an idiot for not believing in global warming. It's not just name-calling. It's saying you are an idiot if you disagree with 99.9% of the scientists in the world.
No. There is no such thing as some national consensus of science. Let me ask you
really?
A question. Yeah,
really? So when 99.9% of the scientists...
You've got that totally wrong.
Oh, I do.
I understand you're using it.
Okay.
But can I ask you one...
Would you like to quote your ExxonMobil scientist that says there's not?
Let me ask you one scientific principle with regards to global warming, and this will tell yourself where you stand on the issue as a whole, if you're willing to answer this question.
Okay.
Okay. Does CO2, the molecule CO2, absorb heat?
Is this going to be on the test? Seriously?
No, you just, it's either yes or no. It either absorbs heat or it does not. This is a fundamental principle to climate science. Does CO2 absorb heat? You as a liberal have sat there and said, the scientists have done the work, they've done the heavy lifting.
Yeah, that's not our job. That's not my job. Go ahead, Jim.
The only scientists who deny global warming are people who are on the payroll of the oil companies.
No. This is not anything to do with payroll. CO2, which is a constituent molecule in climate change, does it absorb? Just intellectually, you think it does it not? You think it does?
I have no idea.
That's all right.
It doesn't absorb heat.
He's irritating us. Sure. I thought it would be more comedic than irritant, but I was wrong.
The last poll of pretty much all of the major climatologists in the world show that 90% of them believe that man-made global warming is a problem.
Yeah, they haven't done the molecule.
What did climatologists know? They don't call radio stations to talk about CO2.
Does it absorb heat?
I mean...
The other 10% work for the oil companies.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all you need to know.
Sadly, when I don't breathe, I get hotter.
Michael in Tucson, more importantly, wants to defend the iPhone. Hello, Michael.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I think you guys are giving the iPhone a really, really bad rap. It works in places. It may not work for you, but I've had an iPhone for years now, and I've never had a dropped call whilst living in Tucson. Granted, I did go to San Diego, and you guys' service sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not a Mac lover. Like, I don't own a Mac. I don't own an Apple laptop or computer or anything. Like, the only product that I own is an iPhone, and I love it. And I've loved it for years.
Well, we actually like our crappy service here because we're very self-involved in Hollywood. There's a lot of people we don't want to talk to, so it's a perfect, I'm in the canyon is the typical, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well,
I'm going into
And the iPhone has a great app called Around Me, and you can find a phone that works.
Right.
Through the Around Me. I would like a phone. Is there a phone in the neighborhood? The lady next to me appears to have one.
Let me see if I can find on my phone where I might find a phone that works. Exactly.
Yeah, the problem is with the iPhone is when you travel. I'm on the road all the time, you know. I mean, if I could, I could really have gotten messages out to people faster with smoke signals.
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm going overseas. I'm going to France next week for our vacation. I have no idea what will work and what won't work and whether I need a, you know.
That's why if everybody got on the Kathleen Madigan Sprint train, Sprint makes it very clear. Look, lady, you can go to Mexico
and Canada. Anywhere else, we're not participating.
we're not supportive of that.
You don't have to worry about it. No, I used his phone in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm like, hey, can I borrow your phone? It cost me nothing.
I think
Sprint works great at home.
I think you can rent a phone while you're in Europe.
Yeah.
One that
just
works locally.
Yeah.
What kind of a phone? Which is your service?
I have a BlackBerry Storm. I have a Verizon.
Verizon does not work overseas.
No. Okay.
Okay,
no, I'm screwed. Good. No, I don't want to talk to you guys anyway. Leave me alone.
But if you look in a magazine while you're on a plane, one of the pages will have a phone on it.
Rent a phone,
You can rent it.
But it only speaks
the size of a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. And it only speaks French. So you're
actually, it looks like a World War II radio, and you're going to invade the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And you pull that out of a box and go, hello, we're coming in.
If you're in a Tom Hanks movie of some sort. All right, David in Minneapolis, you're on with Lewis and Kathleen. Hello, David.
Hey, Mama. I can barely speak being in the presence of all of you. I just feel so unworthy. But this last idiot, I was going to talk about something else. But this last idiot, I love. There's no such thing as agreement in science. They say that until they need a shot for something or they need surgery, then science is kind of a handy thing to have. I love it. But what originally has been called about is what Lewis was saying about, we're just going to be raptured away, whatever, so what do we care about environment? That's exactly what James Watt, who was the Secretary of Interior under Reagan, was saying.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about environment because Jesus is all going to take us home soon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Comforting to have him in charge of the environment, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the other one I loved was when he was saying, well, there's overcrowding at the national parks. Well, let's talk to the Disney people because they can manage that really well there at Disneyland and Disney World. So I just think that they pulled out his old book and said, let's do this. This is kind of fun. We can recycle. We're green.
Yeah.
Let's just do this.
There you go. David, I love his analogy about that. Yeah, if you suddenly need surgery, then suddenly, science is kind of a hard, it's not really an opinion subject. Some doctors don't think you need anesthesia for this. What do you think? I don't think so.
You know, that whole thing about the rapture actually, where I actually realized that was what was going on, because I really don't pay much attention to that, because as a Jew. but what I found was I was on the, I did a bunch of stuff at the Weather Channel in another vague attempt to try to get on the TV.
And,
But the woman who was kind of goes around as their climatologist goes to talk to farmers and tries to give them a concept of what's happening and basically try to discuss global warming with them. She said that 60% of the time these guys are going, we're only going to be here for another 80 years, according to the thing, or 60 or whatever.
Right.
So, none of this is important. You really, and it was like, that's it. The key to that.
That's a little terrifying. Yeah.
It is. It's, especially since they're farming and might provide us with food.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also bad manners. I mean, if you really think that God and Jesus and everybody was all in on giving us this beautiful planet and we trashed it, and then you're going, it doesn't matter, they're coming home in an hour. It's like your parents, they're coming home, but we're just going to leave it a mess. Yeah. Why don't you
clean up, get rid of the roach clip, do something.
Be nice.
Hurry up,
right,
everybody.
Exactly. Hide the bong behind the couch.
Exactly.
Here comes Jesus, and it's getting weird. I think it's very bad manners on their part to just go, well, just because they're coming, we don't have to clean up. Let's just throw your garbage anywhere.
Very counterintuitive. You're right. Yeah. 47 minutes after the hour. Everybody look busy. Jesus is coming back. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour.
Let's go back to the one hand in her pocket. What's going on down there?
Yeah. All right, Jeff. We are live in studio with Kathleen Madigan and her gift to us this morning, Lewis Black.
It's
like a surprise party.
Can I say one thing about that science guy?
Yeah.
First of all, his question hurt my head so bad,
yes.
I checked my watch to see if it was smoke time. And I'm like, five more minutes before I can have a cigarette. That's how bad that man hurt my head.
Yeah.
But, okay, even if you don't, you can say that, I understand the argument, global warming is happening, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just evolution, the world's changed. I'm just saying that at least, I cannot understand saying it's not, something weird isn't happening. I have a farm in Missouri, and there's armadillos on it now. When I was a kid, those were only in movies and Texas.
Right.
They're like having rave parties on my property. They're so they can live through a whole Missouri winter. How can I mean, if, when you go to a property in Ohio and there's kangaroos, you have
to say something is weird.
Oh,
you're not a scientist, but you're not meant to be. You're meant to tell jokes.
But
the
animals are migrating further and further north. Right. I mean, that's been documented.
Yeah, it was like a Meryl Streep movie moment. I have a farm in Africa.
And a gigantic slab of ice broke off of the Arctic.
In Missouri, my farm only cost last couple years. It's not like I'm bragging. It's $2 an acre.
Well, that chunk of Greenland.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, that just like an island of ice, like separates and goes into the. What do you think that's from?
Valerie in North Dakota to the rescue from the headache caller guy. Hello, Val.
Hi. I'd like to be the official retired science teacher.
Yay.
Currently Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now. The fellow who called in only knows half the story. The light of the sun comes to Earth and is absorbed and reflected by everything on Earth.
Right.
And it's the reflected light that cannot get out through the carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's not that they absorb the heat, it's they trap the heat next to the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there
it's
you
like
go.
Throwing a blanket.
Wow. If I was president, I would hire her to talk for answer all my questions like that.
She could
that
talk
was
about
awesome.
Science and religion.
Because it was not said the mean way. It was just facts. And she's also a Lutheran. Wait, we need that guy to call back and talk to her, and then we can all
exactly.
just go smoke.
Just as convincing to me, scientifically, was that you have armadillos on your farm in Missouri, wherever it is.
And I even understood that. She said that. She dumbed that down enough that it got through my thick Irish skull. I get it now. Get that guy back on the line. Now I can have an argument.
We got backup. Mackenzie has a biology degree as well. Hi, Mackenzie in Spokane.
Hello. I'm the official cytogeneticist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, well
and
now,
with
see.
That,
yes, I have the smartest
have
kids in class.
Degree. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I have a biology degree, which included some chemistry. Mm-hmm. And even in high school and even middle school science, you learn that water goes from ice to gas.
Right.
Well, CO2 does the same thing when it absorbs energy because the molecules move. So that guy with his question, does CO2 absorb, does the molecule absorb heat? Well, yes, it does, because if it's frozen or cold, it goes from liquid nitrogen or dry ice,
right.
Or it's frozen, and then it gets to liquid form, and then it goes to the gas form, and once in the gas form, it even absorbs more. So I don't know where this guy is thinking that this question debunks the whole climate change myth.
Yeah, it's
a... Just a distraction.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
You guys don't know nothing, because I know that the molecules in the thing do stuff that you don't know.
Well, also, people like that, they like to think that science is very simple, when it's a lot more complicated and a lot more nuanced than pretty much anybody can understand, except for the scientists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can't be dumbed down.
Not even climate scientist Kathleen Madigan at this hour.
Well, no, because
without a smoke, for God's sakes.
Even in school, I only had one answer when questions like that were fired at me. Kathleen, does CO2 hold heat or not? Yes or no? And my answer, magic! And then, boom! Conversation's over.
Yeah.
Bam!
Nothing but net.
Done.
Oh, Rebecca writes at the bottom of the screen, the CO2 guy called back to say you guys are stupid on science.
I know you are, but what are we? You're stupid. We're stupid.
Look.
That sounds like I called back. If he's so smart, why are you calling us stupid? Think of something smarter. God.
As I was saying earlier in the Al Gore movie, when they showed the graphs of increased CO2 since the Industrial Revolution and the rise in temperatures globally, the graphs match up exactly.
Yeah.
So, come on.
I just love picturing him in a white hot rage dialing Rebecca back.
I'm trying to use the phone!
They're stupid! Stupids!
All I know is that finally, after years of touring, 2 years ago, I made the decision to go south in the winter, and it was record cold. And all of the places I was avoiding in the north was it was like nice, not That's, nice, but it was like average temperatures.
Right.
I'm in Memphis; it's never been 12 degrees in Memphis. Really? We went to.
It's too cold for the armadillos.
The complete off weather. Like, you know, I'll get to Omaha. We've never had a hurricane in Omaha, Kathleen. Sorry. It's really weird. We've never had one. I mean, off weather.
Yeah, well, that's what's called climate change. It's not just global. It doesn't refer to just global warming.
Yeah, contradictory, seemingly contradictory effects.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Back with noted scientists Lewis Black and Kathleen Madigan next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Brack are out smoking. They'll be back.
Smoking just, in the boys' room.
Just a little bit. Lots of Sexy Liberal announcements coming up. A big one tomorrow about, I don't even know.
What.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder where that could be.
What?
Yikes. Big announcement tomorrow. We're going to East Lansing for a special fundraiser for the Democratic Party, September 17th. You can go to, and then Asheville's coming up next, September 24th, and on, check sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal at Facebook. All right. How was the smoking, kids?
I couldn't sell tickets in Asheville.
Really?
What?
Yep.
Asheville should love you.
No, it was weird.
Wow.
It was one of the few shows I've ever had to cancel.
Wow. Yeah. Asheville, what's up?
And I went to the University of North Carolina.
Wow.
Wow.
I would just like to point out.
And you support the tobacco industry like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
of you.
And we both yeah. went really green upstairs because there's no ashtrays, so we put our cigarettes out in the plant. Awesome. So awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, someone sent me an actual church sign, you know, the outside of church, St. Catherine Episcopal Church. It says, Governor Perry, God here. The voice in your head is not me. Take your meds.
Oh.
We've been talking about our favorite story yesterday. You guys do this since you brought up farm news, Kathleen.
Yes.
This
yes.
is for you.
I'm all
Missouri.
About farm news.
Bull semen spill closes Tennessee highway.
I hate when that happens.
Let's see. This was the local news account, complete with video, proved much more suitable for your show, complete with unintentional double entendre, referring reportedly to a lost load.
Oh.
All right. I was doing that just for you because you brought it. I never expected
well,
to hear that you had a farm. You actually own a farm?
Well, I wouldn't call it a working. I
no,
like
there's
as
no
a
re- pigs as a re- or ponies.
No, there's no. As a redneck, I like to refer to it as the property. It's not really a farm. It's woods. And there's a hunting cabin my dad has built there. And
awesome.
Four-wheelers in a barn and snakes, and I have guns. So there you go. That's a full day of farming.
You are down home. Good for, there's your down home, your farm cred.
It's in Missouri. It's where my mother thinks we're all going. If in case the world ends, we can all go live at the cabin. And to which I said to her, I would rather have a nuclear bomb shoved directly up my ass than try to live out the end of time with you and Dad in a hunting cabin.
And snakes.
Yeah.
Lots of snakes.
Right. Because the last bullet I have will be used on myself.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
So you presumably know how they get bull semen, because apparently this is something that they transport quite a bit.
Well, no, but I know that I've been here in person two times in the last month, and the last time we were talking
about
elephant semen.
Yeah, I know.
We've
well,
moved
it comes
on
up.
To bull semen.
Well, it comes up,
it comes
so to
up.
Speak.
Yeah.
I know how they get horse semen.
How's that, Lewis?
Somebody's in a trailer, you know, a guy, and he's playing with the hoo-ha.
Fluffer,
There's a gig. That's a gig you really want to jump
sure, Marcus
on.
Bachman would love it.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. That's we did. You're right. Just by happenstance, here you are. And
I know.
So how do you rub one out for a bull? There you go. All right. How about this one? Because this we've been... I love these
Hypocrites.
Are our favorite stories. Oddly, it's a Republican. Where is this? Indiana? State Representative Phil Hinkle. Remember this guy, Jim? He admitted that he paid a young man $80 to have a good time, but he insists he is not gay.
Right.
And he doesn't know.
And he loves his wife.
Yes, presumably, and Larry Craig's wife as well.
I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
I am not gay.
Mm-hmm.
I never have.
It's another
been
one
gay.
Of those.
Adenoid Hinkle was the name of the great dictator in the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Really?
Yes.
He says he won't seek re-election, but he will not resign. He said he did nothing illegal or with or to the young man. He himself, he says, was the victim of a crime, but he says he won't file a police report.
That's nice.
He offered his first public comment since the Indianapolis Star revealed he used Craigslist to arrange to pay a young man to spend time with him at a downtown hotel. As you do when you're not gay and just want to spend time with an 18-year-old.
Playing cards.
Yeah. Cameron Gibson, the 18-year-old, said he was looking for a sugar daddy, and the Craigslist posting told the star that he tried to leave the room that night and called his sister after Hinkle identified himself as a lawmaker. He also said he tried to keep him from leaving, exposed himself, and then, this is my favorite part, after his sister arrived, offered to give them $100 cash, an iPad, and a BlackBerry to shut up.
Wow.
He has a trunk full of swag.
$100.
For just these situations.
He'd have gotten me on the iPad.
That's shut your
I have a BlackBerry. $100. Nope. iPad. Yep.
I've got a BlackBerry. What do you think of that?
They always played a lawmaker card, don't they? Larry Craig actually said, "I'm a senator. What do you think of that?
What do you think of that?"
And the policeman said, "Well, I think there's going to be a lot of unfortunate publicity. That's what I think of that."
Well, there was, because I won't go to a bathroom in that airport anymore. I won't. I'm serious, and I go through there a lot. I didn't know that stuff. You know, I don't need to know that those shenanigans are going on. And that's a word I've never used.
No, ever. Don't seem like that kind of person. Hinkle said he is not homosexual. He said, "I say that emphatically, so you know it's true."
Right. Because he did that with his hands. When he said,
"I am not gay." He acknowledged he picked up Cameron Gibson, drove him to the hotel, gave him $80 in the car. But when they arrived, Hinkle said they just made small talk about baseball and the view from the hotel.
Sure, as you do.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you could say, "I'm not gay, but I acted really gay an hour ago."
I'm not
that
gay, I just do really gay things.
I just do gay.
In a really gay way.
How do these women stay married to these guys? When your husband can decorate the house better than you, get divorced.
Yeah.
That is a gay man.
Yeah, well,
if you know the difference between bone and winter white, there could be a
husband
problem.
Just might be gay. Sarah in Minneapolis, you're on with Kathleen and Lewis. Hi, Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Here, I am in a barbarian costume covered in glitter in Minneapolis.
Are you really? Are you protesting outside Marcus Bachmann's reparative therapy clinic?
Yes. We just did a flash mob to Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
Awesome.
And we are encouraging them to stop taking public funding. They take $160,000 a year in federal funding or in state funding.
I thought she was a small government fiscal conservative.
Yeah, well, that's what they claim. But we're trying to tell them to listen up. So the YouTube video is going to be out shortly, and we're all pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Marcus Bachmann is chair dancing to Born This Way. He can't really contain himself. He's in there.
Can't help it. Barbarians need to be educated. Mm. They need to be disciplined.
Could it be any better, Lewis, unless he sounded exactly like Paul Lynde? I mean, I had no idea he sounded that gay.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
That's Frutos.
Yeah.
No, seriously, he may not be gay, but that's definitely fruit.
A word that hasn't been in the circulation for about 100 years. Lewis is bringing back, "Are you a fruit?" What?
Fruit?
I'm saying you're gay. I'm just saying fruity.
It sounded fruity.
I don't think if you've never heard his voice, that was Marcus Bachmann.
Oh, yeah.
Freakish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you literally go, did they steal that from Waiting for Guffman, or did Waiting for Guffman base it on them?
Wow.
He literally does pick out our pantsuits.
Because you're bastard people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just hate you.
All right.
And I hate your accent. Yeah,
the first time I saw a picture of Marcus Bachmann, and he was shaking someone's hand and just grinning really emphatically, I was really excited. It just was, wow, is that Martin Short? What's going on here?
The best one was him waving after she won the Iowa straw poll. like Queen Wave. Ah, so excited. Okay.
That is a Long Beach Pride float wave if I've ever seen one.
He was feeling super. Oh, he's just, I thought he was going to break out into the...
That is Johnny Weir.
I'm super!
Oh, so excited.
Considered I couldn't be better, I'm a thing. I'm feeling super, and nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Okay. All right, yeah, it's... It really did look like the opening number, Le Cage aux Folles.
Folle. It's much more, it's much easier than you're making it.
Okay.
No, it's folle.
Cage aux Folles. He makes my French is miserable.
Good enough.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
All right, Dick Cheney, oh boy, must I talk about him? He releases his memoir early next week. He said there's going to be heads exploding all over Washington. Oh, but they're going to go, oh, wow, that guy really is a... Because I thought he was nice before now. Now he's people are really going to think he's a jerk. He kept a secret resignation letter locked away in a safe in case he were ever to be incapacitated. The possibility I might have a heart attack or stroke that we incapacitating, there's no mechanism for getting rid of the vice president who can't function. The letter was locked in a safe at all times. The location was not disclosed. Neither was his location during the entire vice presidency.
Right.
It was known only to a handful of people, including George W. Bush.
That seems...
Who I'm sure could not remember the combination. Yeah. His life depended on
that it. That seems like that's something we need to constitutionally look into. We can't remove a vice president who is incapacitated?
Yeah. I don't know.
That we need to fix that, I think.
Don't they go down the list and then it's like Speaker of the House? Or George Michael, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. No, he assured George Bush that he was fine.
George Bush. Yeah.
All right.
It's coming out next week.
Yeah, yeah. He says we also should...
It's summer. It's still summer. You can't do this stuff. This is winter crap. But you save this for when we're really depressed about a lot of other things, like our lives and the fact that there's no stinking sun anymore and that we could die. And then you go, oh, look, and he wrote this memoir, and that's depressing, too. But you don't put it out there
summer beach read. No.
Yeah, no, while I'm standing in the wading pool.
I'll tell you who's not going to be reading it at all is George W., because he didn't understand it the first time.
Too many big words in there.
That's hard. Dick writes real hard things. That's why I don't read them. It's real hard. It's too long.
You're right, Louis. You can't read it in the summer. My favorite books were those. What's her name? The trashy one. The trashy books. Jacqueline
Suzanne?
Yes. Love those books.
Man, I love them.
That was my favorite author interview on a radio show ever. She said, oh, and you know, it comes in two colors. And I said, as all great literature does. I think War and Peace came in one.
A Tale of Two Colors.
And also...
My favorite thing now, the thing that makes me happiest, is when other people can't remember a name or something and I can.
Yeah.
That's when I feel the best. How pathetic is that? Oh, I remember! Suzanne! I'm in the third grade.
That was awesome. Yeah. I know, and you get nothing extra for that.
You get nothing.
All right, you can go smoke again.
You get a feel-good sensation.
All right,
I do.
There you go. You're the smartest boy in class.
Seika! Okay. I know!
No, that's wrong, Joe. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Kathleen Madigan and Louis Black as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, take that, right-wing science guy. There's more science going on here this morning than, Caltech, for God's sakes. Louis Black just explained. We were looking at a picture of Marcus and Michelle Bachmann, and you had a theory as to how they reproduced.
They asked, the guys asked how they have children, and it's because it's like turtles, you know. He leaves some semen on the bed, and then she waddles over and lays down on it. And then 9 months later, baby's born.
And that's how it happens.
Yeah, no,
thank you, Louis.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. But nobody ever waddles over.
Who knows what hotel rooms from what cities you play? There might be a lot of little blacks running around.
Oh, boy. That made my skin crawl. God, that is like my fear. You know, do you remember me? No. Hello.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dennis in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. 2012 election season's already pretty much shaping up. President can't run on his horrible economic record, so
yes.
I've already felt
he ruined
what you
that delightful
do.
Economy George Bush left him. You're right.
Okay, yeah, you always go back to George Bush.
I know.
It's $1 trillion. It's $1 trillion. We went to war. Nobody wanted to pay for the war. You know, it's a fact. It's not something you can know. It's a fact. It's a fact. I'm not making this up. It's a fact. No, we didn't pay for a war, jackass.
I love today so much.
It's a fact. They have to deal with facts.
Why can't I have him every day and Kathleen Madigan?
This is why I need. This is why I have the summer off.
And you can see how it's worked. He's relaxed.
See, we offer a little balance, Jim, because I've heard lots of times people call in and go, oh, you're so good with the right-wing callers. And then every once in a while,
no!
Steve Lewis
you're an idiot! No, but you don't, you know, and what got me was just there's certain buttons you push. You just
sure.
don't go, well, yeah. it's always George Bush. Look, I'm more than willing to tell you that what Obama has done is a appalling yeah. on levels that are staggering. But don't then ignore what your party did. Both sides are pieces of, you know, excrement at this point. That's seriously, it's like, I've said it, it's two bowls of excrement looking in a mirror.
I would say he's in a mood this morning, Kathleen.
Well, they drove me to the middle. I don't want to be in the middle.
He's made an incredible living off being in this mood. Always. Yeah. It's not just this morning he's in a mood.
It's certain subjects. And what's weird is the more you hang out with Lou, you never know really what they're going to be.
Yeah, what sets them off, sure.
Right. It could just be awesome. Tim Tebow.
It's
what? And boom.
It's bipolar, but it's a really, or Gemini, or some, but a really funny one.
They always
I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be funny.
I mean, it's true. They always say, oh, you're blaming George Bush for this. Well, I mean, you can't, if somebody goes into your checkbook and writes all the checks out, and then you walk in there, the money is gone.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, who is,
so,
oops.
So when they, and it's like a stock. Like when they say, well, let's just cut spending. Okay, well, so we can cut spending. So, but we're still not generating new money.
You're right.
This is not an accident, though. This is what Republicans do. They create recessions so that Democrats can't spend on social programs.
You're right.
Bush inherited a giant surplus, and in his first inaugural address, hey, we got ourselves a surplus. Got to get rid of it. Means paying too much tax. Mission accomplished.
And you're right, Kathleen. He got in the Oval Office. Obama, he opened the drawer, and the checkbook was there, and it just says you need to reorder checks. He's like, what the hell? Now I got to pick, do I want kittens or flowers or what? There's no checks in
here. How could I be broke? I have still have checks.
Well, and I don't understand whenever they say, well, we can't raise taxes on the rich, okay? Well, all right, let's say, I love the argument too. All you need to do is use common sense. We need a guy with, no, we don't. I have common sense. Don't put me in charge. I don't even know what a molecule is. We need uncommon brilliant sense is what we need, not common sense. There's a reason it's common, you jackass, because everybody walking around with the NFL Network and a futon has it.
Yeah.
Well, that's common sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course, you can still be brilliant and still be evil. I mean, the Nazis were pretty smart.
Well, it's like people say about Sarah Palin or George Bush. Oh, they're real people just like me. I don't want someone just like me. I want someone a lot smarter than me.
It would be horrifying. But
they're not real.
But if you can't, if you say
they're
we're not
real people.
Yeah.
If you say we're not going to raise taxes, then how is it that we're going to generate more money? Cutting your debt is fine, but if you want to use common sense, let's say you have 16 bills at home, and you say, okay, we're going to cut out cable. You're still broke.
Yeah.
You still have to get another job or
now you're broke and no
to
cable.
Raise money.
Right.
We need more. And then they say, well, you can't just print more money. I've never understood that. That's where I get lost in economics. If I had the printer, what? Shut up. I'd be printing money left.
They treat you pretty ugly down in Texas, I guess.
Yeah, whatever he said. But.
Jason in Albuquerque, you're on with Lewis Black. Hello, Jason.
Hi, guys. I am the official Stephanie Miller stalker from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Awesome.
I'm sorry
awesome.
I'm really bad at my job, Stephanie. I'll work harder, I promise.
Yeah, you're kind of lazy stalker, but go ahead.
I know. I'm working on it. But, you know, a very famous quote by a guy named Lewis Black is, what's worse than Republicans or Democrats? And that would, of course, be them working together. And that's what we have. We have the same people in the same suits doing the same crap.
Yep. Not a compromise guy,
read,
really.
Read Amnesty for the Indefensible by Robert Scheer.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Brack next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Seems so un-Louy.
Yeah, she doesn't look Louish. Maybe she only observes the high holidays, like Mardi Gras and spring break. Maybe she's just a cultural woo.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. We are in live in studio with Kathleen Madigan and our special surprise guest, Lewis Black, Chuck in Carson City. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Stephanie and all the mooks and everybody. Wow, and this is like, I'm nervous. Hey, Lewis, you're coming to Reno tomorrow night. It'll be wonderful to see you there.
It's going
to
be fun.
And I want to know, Stephanie, why there's no Sexy Liberal Show in Reno.
We got to get on that, I think,
yes,
in fact.
Yes, you do, because yes. We actually have a progressive station here.
I know you do.
AM
JFK.
30. Yep. And, Stephanie, I want to be the official old-fashioned doctrinaire gay liberationist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome.
Because
terrific.
I really get tired of you referring to tragic closet case homosexuals as gay. They haven't earned the word. They haven't taken the sociopolitical
they have not seized their fabulousness.
Out.
Yes.
And you know, you're referring to effeminates as gays, and we got to stop that. We got to go
all
back
right.
to old-fashioned doctrinaire gay liberationism.
Okay.
I'm
well, almost as confused. That was like gay science, that
was,
call.
I'm
confused.
I drifted out.
I know.
It was hard.
I know.
No,
you're like,
I get it.
You're going to have to smoke again, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
We can wait till we leave.
Yeah, this is, you were talking, Lewis, you kind of said you've gotten into the middle because it's just, and I think a lot of people, if you look at the polling, just hate everybody at this point.
Yeah, which, what is it down to, 12% of, like, 14% of the approval of Congress?
Yeah.
I mean, at what point doesn't Congress even pay attention? I mean, and I do believe they're insular, and I do believe they live in a bubble, and I do believe it's all of them. And I really, and I truly believe, having lived around D.C. as a kid, you know, where the system broke was when we stopped electing drunks. The really great leaders of our my lifetime.
You're right. When Ted Kennedy and Tip O'Neill were in, we got
Tip O'Neill
done.
Tip O'Neill and Reagan would get together and get trashed.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, you're the best. You're the best.
You're
no,
talking
you're the
Kathleen
best.
Madigan's language. She
knows
no,
I mean, I
God
believe
thanks.
It. And I believe it. I mean, you know. What's
you and your Irish relatives should run this entire country.
You know, I read Ted Kennedy's book, and I knew he didn't like Jimmy Carter, but I wasn't exactly sure exactly why. And then I read that Jimmy Carter made the White House dry.
Oh.
What? And then invited people over for a lecture. Like, I'm sure Ted was like, oh, yeah,
yeah
we're
sure.
having happy hour over at the White House. And
Jews,
now I got to sit down and sober and listen to Carter talk. To me?
Jews
no.
may sit shiver, we sit shivers.
No, you know, Lewis, it's interesting. You stumbled on a point, and I actually made this because, you know, my dad was in Congress. He ran with Goldwater in 64, but that was, first of all, back when they all lived in Washington.
Right.
But they really were friends. They really did, and they went drinking together.
They went drinking. Well, they hung out.
It was cocktail hour at 5 o'clock, and they would go, yeah.
And because they knew that one side represented you know, that the Democrats represented, you know, the government really could work it all out, and the Republicans represented that business could work it all out.
Yeah.
And then they
yeah.
just sat and figured out, you know, depending on how many of them were around so that they
yeah.
could pass stuff, you know, how much to give it to
yeah.
government and how much to give it to business.
See,
and that's it's a sliding scale, and that's the way it works, and just shut up.
We're helpers. We're problem solvers. Drinking. It's not a drinking problem, yeah. Kathleen. It's a solution.
It is a solution.
I saw it in my own home. Like my dad. Now that I think back, my one of my friends' dad was a plumber, and he was our plumber. And completely different politics. Dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. Used to come when he was, you know, at the house fixing something. 5 o'clock, like clockwork. My dad would go, "Hey, Bob, how about a silver bullet? Sit down, have martinis." I'm telling you.
That's a martinis, a silver bullet.
That's what he called it.
Wow.
You know, I'm saying.
That's
you're thinking
perfect.
Coors Light.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
no. I was thinking there was a drink I hadn't had.
I was thinking werewolves.
I was thinking new things to mix.
Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kathleen and Lewis. Hello.
Hi there. I'm hoping I don't swallow my own tongue. I'm so excited to be on the radio with Lewis Black and Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I had to put a pencil on my tongue when they both came in.
To have a giant clock, like they have a running national debt clock. I want a giant clock that just keeps track of how many Republican members of Congress aren't gay and how many Democrat members of Congress aren't gay.
I think
we need somebody to help us keep score. It's really hard to keep track.
Well, it's the Republican. It's like clockwork that you go, oh, when you hear a story like this, you go, it's going to be Republican, right? And he's really an anti-gay and he's voted against every gay rights. But yes, that's the guy. That will be the guy that gets caught in the bathroom with the thing. Yes.
I love my wife.
Yes, exactly.
Or just give all gays the chance. Turn it over, because so far it's been all mainly straight people with maybe four or five gay singing senators in the closet. So let's flip it. give it all gays and four straight people in the closet.
There you go.
And let the gay, at least the White House would be fabulous.
There you go. Hey, speaking of which, I know I get called an Obama apologist, but I does it mean, does he get it from all sides for everything? This is the headline with all the problems we have. Obama's vacation style, dad jeans and oversized blazers, which apparently is just, look at, somebody wrote, just look at those jeans. He's wearing, the president is wearing the wrong kind of jeans on vacation with his wife and kids.
What kind of jeans?
Yeah, and if he wore good jeans, they go, oh, look at how gay and French and elitist he looks.
Yeah,
look
but
how much money he spent on the jeans.
At least he's wearing jeans.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, you know, if he was like walking around in his underwear, and
yeah,
his,
then we'd have.
And his Schwanz was out. Then you
no, that's Rick Perry.
Yeah, yeah. At least, actually, he'd take a criticize for mom jeans the last time, so at least they're moved up to these are dad jeans.
Well, yeah, I would
I
expect
guess.
Him in bad jeans because he's that he's smart. You know, one of my brothers is an engineer. He can't get it together with his pants. He's just too smart. He just can't do it, but he does other things really well.
You can't
he just
be smart
can't...
and look good in pants.
No, you can't. No.
You know, the thing about Obama has always been to me from the very beginning was that when people, you know, all of these people are like, you know, majorly disappointed, and I knew I really did know him because we never get anywhere. That the what all you could hope for is that His input into our society was he was going to speak in paragraphs.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. And that's how we move forward.
Yeah.
We have a leader who speaks in paragraphs.
You and Kathleen, I think your natural cynicism, as you said, you were never a hope-changing person. You're in the first place. So
I was not. No, I was. That's why I wanted Hillary, because I just thought, well, worst case scenario, at least she'll punch somebody in the face. You know? She will. She's just mean enough. She reminds me of two nuns I had in grade school that were not afraid to pull something out and smack you in the ass or the face.
Yeah.
Because Obama wants to talk to these people, and I'm saying you can't talk to them. You just walk in and punch them in the face and say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what George
technically,
w
that's
did.
Frowned on. But, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know what you mean, though. She reminds me of Sister Philomena, now that you bring it up.
If you put, literally put her in the outfit, dead ringer from my eighth grade nun.
Yeah, once I stopped doing LSD, I ran out of hope. That was my hope recharger. Oh, look, it's all connected. Everything's going to be great. And then I woke up, and I was my sad little self again.
Back to science. Richard and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hello. Actually, I'm commenting on the CO2 guy's his comment about how people usually are liberal and then they turn conservative. Yes.
Which is totally untrue, but yes.
It is. Yeah. It is, because I've come from a staunch Republican family.
Me too.
And, yeah, exactly. I can relate. And my brother and I, we kind of... unbeknownst to each other, I went to go see Obama speak and had an Obama poster in the back of my car, and he saw it, and I said, I don't know how that got, I don't know how that got there, and my brother said, oh, no, he has a great website, and blah, 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 and we realized, I'm like, you're a Democrat now also? Like, it was this coming out party together.
Yeah. Well, I think 'cause this Republican Party, we're not the first people to say it, has moved so far to the right. I don't feel like... We've moved the other way. I feel like they've moved, lunatic fringe.
And actually, I've never been political in my life, like, strong enough to go be a protester. And I've been going down to the Capitol, and I actually spent nights there. And there was one day that I was dragged out by the police trying to block the assembly hallway so they couldn't vote on the bill.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, good for you. You have a lot more energy than we do. We are far too lazy. Have you ever protested anything, you two?
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah, I always think, would there be anything that would get me up? What would it be if they said prohibition's coming back?
That'd
be like, all right, I've got to go down there and do something.
I've got to take the pajamas off.
I, that's right. I'm putting the cigarette out. I'm going to act like I care. And I'm going to call my uncles that work at the brewery and go, what can we do? Let's get this together. That would be the one thing where I would be like, enough is enough.
No, Jim says that sometimes people would think, we ought to get together and protest. And Jim's like, we're too busy watching semi-celebrities eat bugs on television.
Right.
We're too
distracted
by our new iPhone.
I protested when I was a kid.
Oh, you
did? Well, I'm that old.
Kid.
Yeah. It was, you know, so there was the 60s, and I did marches in Washington, and then so I was tear gassed three times, and that pretty much wrapped that up.
Yeah, that was.
I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm maced. We're not doing that again.
There were huge protests against the Iraq War, but they weren't covered by the news media.
You know,
they're too busy
covering 10 teabaggers in a. Yeah. Exactly.
My parents actually came. I was working in D.C., and they said, we're coming to your gig, and we're going to stay with you for your gig because we want to protest the war in Iraq. And I go, you two have this. You were supposed to protest in the 60s, not when you are 60. Because now I'm going to have to follow you around and keep track of you, and mom's knee is bad. But you know how, and we went, and we did the whole protest thing right when it was all starting. But you know how there's always, like, the fringe groups that jump onto any
right.
protest?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
what
Jim... marriage... gay marriage in Alaska. But it didn't say. Oh, it said bears for marriage in Alaska.
Yes,
meaning gay men with beards
right.
that are
sure.
bigger. And my dad somehow got stuck. Like,
it was a regular bear.
He was in their contingent, and he goes,
"How did I get?"
Because we were walking, we got separated. My mom's knee's bad. We have to sit down, and I see my dad walk by with the gay bears from Alaska, and I go, "Look at him! He probably really thinks it's just bears, and he doesn't understand why anybody cares if they get married."
No, Jim and I. Remember, Jim? We went to an entire Iraq rally in downtown L.A. and we were like, what the hemp people? Come on. Let's
get it together.
People. We got a war and stuff. Okay.
But that was always the way it was. It was it from the very beginning. I mean, the reason I'm not a lefty in the sense of it was I walked away from them because from the very beginning it was disintegrating.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, everybody had their thing and this is my agenda.
There's too many groups. We're like, focus, people.
Can we just get one thing at a time? Yeah. We'll get to you later. Yeah. You know,
don't support that. It's just that's not relevant right now.
I'll worry about it.
You're taking up space. Listen, gay bears from Alaska. we have other marches for you, but the Iraqi war has nothing to do with bears. Bears, real bears, or gay men that are bears, nothing to do with any kind of bear.
It's like a magnet that just keeps picking up all kinds of clank, clank. Wait a minute. Yeah. No, that has nothing to do with this.
And I just found that out this year, that bear thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know. There's a whole world going on out there.
Yeah, who knows. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Somebody keeps sending me these church signs in Texas. This is one from the Texas Baptist Church. I never told Rick Perry to run for anything. I did suggest he stops harassing gays, Mexicans, and Muslims, however. God. Okay.
Nice.
Wow, on a Baptist church.
Yeah.
People are putting up the church signs with little jokesters.
Yeah.
I love when Rick Perry goes, I don't believe in evolution. Well, I wouldn't either if I was you. Look at yourself.
Look at you.
The San Diego Zoo is missing a gorilla. That's all I'm saying, Mr. Perry.
Knuckles almost scraping the ground as he prepares that haystack. Doesn't he look like he's about to, you know what I'm saying?
Well, how did Texas do that three times?
Yeah.
Three times?
That's always been my feelings, is I always wanted to go to the zoo and find an ape and shave it and put it in a Civil War uniform and run it for president.
There you go.
He never speaks. It's three, you know, he's 190.
And how terrifying that he would win.
Yeah, and his eye, but you look in their eyes and they look very wise.
They do. They always said they look very sad.
They do.
Yeah.
They do, too. And old souls. We're live in studio with Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black. You both have stuff coming up. Where do we find information?
I'm going to Northern California this weekend. Santa Rosa, and then I'll say it.
Santa Rosa?
Visalia. Yeah, Santa Rosa.
Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Very good. Great. One of the great venues.
My dad grew up in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of my favorite places to do comedy. I'm serious.
Well,
I love it there. And you walk out, and there's places to get a big vats of wine. It's phenomenal. It works on every level for you.
Sonoma County.
No coincidence she was booked in wine country, I don't think. By the way, and Muammar Gaddafi will be opening for her. They're still looking for him, according to the press.
There's still no evidence to indicate that he has left.
I love that he did radio. I'm like, even as a dictator, you got to get up and do radio.
See?
Yeah. He had to get up.
Yeah. I think not so bad for you.
Kathleen
guys.
Is what he should, you know, what you.
He's like, can I smoke?
I think they should make him a Walmart greeter. I think he'd be great.
The only Walmart with Gaddafi is a greeter.
Yeah.
Did you see some of the, yesterday we played sound of some of the rebels yelling, Gaddafi, come out! We're like, oh, well, that's going to work.
What are
you,
Marco!
Is that your only plan?
Polo! Marco! Come on! It worked for your son. We got him out of that town car. Marco!
And Louis Black, you're going to be performing where? And
Boston
when?
On 3rd, 4th, the 10th and the 11th, I believe it is. Or the 9th and the 10th at the... Emerson College of the... I forget the name of the theater, idiot.
It's probably on your website.
Yeah. It probably is.
LewisBlack.com. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Very nice.
Sometimes I'm his brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. You guys obviously share a brain.
Together.
Yeah. Together we have enough to get through the day.
Yes. Jonathan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. A couple of things is the whole common sense thing. How quickly would Star Trek get canceled if Ensign Redshirt were the captain of the Enterprise?
Right.
and also, Dick Cheney talks about how important the vice president is, and you can't remove him. But historically, presidents didn't run with the same VP. They changed VPs when they got reelected.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Roosevelt did it three
times.
I think
he's tooting his own horn. I think he's thinking he's too important.
Yeah. Well, I've said this before, Kathleen, because I know you were a Hillary girl. I hope they switch. I hope because they say Biden's always wanted to be Secretary of State. And they could switch, and then we could have Hillary for 8 years after Obama.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's got to get back on the Botox and a haircut.
And I said, and stop by and close at Chico's.
Yeah, you'll lose very upset with her outfits.
Yeah, they're really, it is, I don't know who's, but even I, who am not a, have become somewhat of a fashion sense, go, wow.
Apparently,
you,
is she and,
you got to look in the mirror.
She and Angela Merkel shop at the same place, apparently.
Chico's is good, though, when you get older, because it's like Garanimals for adults. Every piece matches another piece, so even if your memory is starting to slip, anything you pick out of that closet matches. That's the key. It's
the magic of
Chico's. It's the dementia outfits.
Yep.
Yes.
You look like you're a mob boss trying to pretend you're crazy. You dress like you're on your way to court wearing, All right, you know, you were talking about your violent nuns in school. I just love this story. A 39-year-old Omaha teacher has been suspended by the district, cited by police, accused of taking two teen students from his classroom and encouraging them to resolve their dispute during a nearly 20-minute brawl. He told them to go slap it out.
I like it.
I like it.
Yep. He said they asked him twice whether he was serious. He said he assured them he was, so the boys then flailed away and grappled for about 20 minutes before the fight was broken up.
No,
I like it. Not my baby, not my bathwater. Get outside.
I remember one of the teachers in my Catholic school got in a fist fight with a kid in the classroom while we were in class.
Even better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Better.
I'd like to have been in that class, though, just, you know, for that time before the teacher just said, okay, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm done. You know, I don't care. I don't really care. They
slap it out. Slap it out, bitches.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm
charging $5. Who wants to watch?
And they also,
take it to that level.
You know, and if they want to change education in this country, what they can do is send every American into a classroom and let them try to teach.
Yeah.
And then they'll all shut up.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we're older, we just think they should bring beatings back. Because we had an actual, it was called the Board of Education, it was like, because nuns had a really sadistic sense of humor, and that's what they would hit you with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ours would just take our temperature and make sure we were feeling good and give us some cookies. It really worked.
What was yours? There was some weapon your teachers had. What was a thing with holes in it or something?
Oh, yeah, there was the wooden paddle, but then if you were really bad, you got the wooden paddle with the holes in it because it would go faster.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Catholic school, too, right?
That is.
Yeah, they waterboarded in ours. They didn't mess around in Buffalo.
But at the end of the day, I'm a much kinder and gentler person than Lewis.
Yeah, at the very end of the day, when you're passing out.
It was beaten into me by people that cared. And you were spared beatings, and now look at you. You're yelling and screaming, and I am at peace with myself and my wine and my end of the day. I send greeting cards sometimes.
There you go.
Fine.
And Lewis Black, rageaholic, because he was not beaten enough.
Yes, he was not beaten
yes.
out of you.
Yes. All right. LewisBlack.com, and I'm assuming KathleenMadigan.com.
Yep.
Would be the...
And we're on Twitter. Come on, I know.
Yeah, and we're going to be on a cruise together. So.
Oh, yeah, the Lewis Black Comedy Cruise in November. When
in November.
It? When is it? November.
November 6th.
They're the cutest little, like, Smokey McSmokerson couple. They're just cute,
we're going
cute,
down
cute.
Together.
Yep.
All right. We will see you tomorrow for Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks.